Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at Hotep, to everyone. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and wow, we are getting ready, gearing up, getting ready to do the thing, as they say. Well, what I mean by that is, of course, Million Woman March 25 is coming, the kickoff. Now, remember, this is the kickoff. We're going to do a year-long commemoration, not one day, a year-long. And the actual big event will take place next year, but the kickoff is this year. Here in Philadelphia, we're going to really start around the 21st for a whole lot of major activities, but actually starting today is when we begin to start putting things in place and getting ready for the big 25 and the next year. So very shortly, family, we're going to talk to some of the folks who are going to be joining us during the next year and thereafter. But for tonight's program, we're going to be talking with our sister Angela Khalifa again. And she's going to tell us about something that's going to be going on tomorrow. Actually, what's happening, the original program was canceled because of the pending storm. And there in that area, the state of Virginia has issued a kind of a state of emergency or something. She'll tell you about that. So the outside event that they were going to do is going to be canceled. Well, it is canceled, but because we are family, we're going to do, meaning NWM, meaning New Day, we're going to do something tomorrow with the group, with the family, in commemoration of the Earth Day of the great ancestor, Nat Turner. Absolutely. And so Sister Angela's going to come on and tell you about what we're going to be doing tomorrow, because it's time for some healing. Not just, you know, this, I hate to say poo-putt stuff, but I sometimes hear folks talk about certain things. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but, you know, we got to start getting more into our arts of healing, the metaphysics, even the juju. Oh, yeah. We've got to start using our own sciences, our own everything. And so, you know, we can't allow people to keep talking about Hippocrates was the father of medicine and all that crazy stuff. And yet we can't say that, well, we know that Imhotep was really the father of medicine. But what kinds of techniques, what kinds of tactics, what kinds of methods are we going to apply? Well, that's what we're going to start talking about now, family. So with that said, tomorrow's event is not just to hail up and commemorate Nat Turner, but also the energy, the synergy that is connected to our ancestors in terms of fighting, of course, but also healing. Because when you start studying African culture and history from a historical perspective and traditions, interestingly enough, that there were various people who were, in fact, healers also. So when you heard of an entity or someone having a specific role in our community, there was always a person who was a healer, but that person might have also had some other positions as well. You know, the priests, they were also healers, or the nanas, that many of them were also healers. They had to study herbs and other things. So how are we connecting those black dots today? Well, we're going to answer some of those questions for you now very soon. In fact, not just answer the questions, but put some of the institutions in place that really need to be made available in our communities. And make sure that they're not so sky high that folks can't afford it. Okay? So, listen, before we bring on Sister Angela, I'm going to share with you the latest commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal. I'm going to also share with you some updates on what we're doing with the Recharge Genocide 21. and of course how that's applicable to COINTELPRO, mass incarceration, juvenile injustice, and other things that are relevant to that particular aspect of We Charge Genocide. We're going to also talk more about, would you believe, gentrification? Absolutely. Gentrification for us is a form of genocide. So we are going to talk more about that also. Okay, but before we get ready to talk with Sister Angela, let's hear from Mumia Abu-Jamal, as usual. And we want to remind you also that his upcoming new court date is October. I talked with Sister PM earlier, and certainly we are gearing up for that since this month. This month, of course, is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's also National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. But NWM is also declaring it National Black Women's Appreciation Awareness and Action Month. Tell you more about that as we proceed. In the meantime, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
His name was Frank Fanon, born in Martinique in the West Indies, 1925. At the time of his death, 36 years later, his words would inspire freedom movements around the world, and his ideas captured in his posthumously published book, The Record of the Earth, would become a classic, selling over 1 million copies. Fanon was actually Dr. Frantz Fanon, a psychiatrist who considered the vile system of colonialism a social pathology. Dr. Fanon worked with the FLN, National Liberation Front, of Algeria. It was an anti-colonial forces that fought against French imperialism there. He actually became the voice of Algerian national resistance and wrote pieces for the FLN journal, El Mujahideen. He wrote searing, biting critiques of French political support for Algeria colonial and similar systems in Black Africa. When Dr. Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale began to organize the Black Panther Party in 1966, Seale handed Newton a copy of Fanon's The Record of the Earth. Newton reportedly read it 6 times. His ideas seeded the ideas that would later permeate the leadership and membership of the Black Panther Party. His general idea was that the colonized and the oppressed had to fight against their oppressors with every tool at their disposal. His words gave heft and weight to the Algerian Revolution, which triumphed after 7 years of war. His writings continue to await after over half a century since his death in an American hospital. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
Indeed, Mumia Abu-Jamal, we must not only not forget, but we also must not just sit back and talk about him. We must step up, stand up, and that's part of our motto for this next year. Step up, stand up, and do something. So we'll be giving you more information on Mumia and other political prisoners as we proceed. Of course, Iman Jamil Alamin, his Earth Day is coming up, and there's a rally coming up for him this coming week as well. And as we kick off what we now call, and sisters, we're getting ready to do our inaugural convention or forum, so we'll tell you more about that a little later on, but we're really now moving forward with MWM and the Universal Movement. So you're going to now see what some of us have been doing and talking about for a while now. So membership is now open. There will be sessions for anyone that's interested starting actually tomorrow, because we're going to do stuff this entire month. We're going to be doing different kinds of forums and other kinds of things the entire month. But for the inauguration for the Federation, the A Million Black Women Rising Federation, there will be some sessions that will only be for members. We have left this thing open for a long time in hopes that that would, you know, encourage sisters to get involved. Well, it didn't, at least not to the degree that it should have. We've offered so many free things to make sure that it was accessible, readily accessible, and we still will. But we're going to also now departmentalize and also make some very clear cadres and committees so that we can get the type of commitment that we need. Because this movement is not something to be taken lightly, and we're not going to allow people to do that any longer. If they want to get involved, you know, to support or whatever, that's fine. But we need some what we call serious sisters, and we call them sistars. So you're not going to hear more about the philosophy, the methodology, and other things that MWM started, stood for, and has sustained in these two decades. It was certainly more than a march. It is definitely, even now, more than a movement, but that's what we're bringing forward. So again, family, we are so looking forward to this next this next year, and very soon you're going to hear a special announcement that is going to be incredible. We've waited long enough for folks to step up, and unfortunately, I mean, some did, but when you bring 2 million women together, so now we're going to call a spade the spade and bring this thing together the way that it needs to be, and introduce to you something that we've been waiting for and working on for quite a while. Okay, so y'all get ready, because it's coming. Now, we're going to tell you very soon about some of the Black Print Agenda 25. You'll be able to get summaries of some of that work, or some of those plans of action will be available starting on October 25th. Now, for those who are members, you'll get it sooner. Okay, and we do have at least 25 new memberships, and a couple of them are even for brothers. So brothers who say, well, you know, how can I support or how can I get involved? And believe me, we do have some brothers that are out of sight. They're doing a wonderful job. They're so supportive to us. And we're saying to other brothers, you too can now get involved, because there's a serious Brothers in Support cadre that will meet on October the 15th. We'll tell you more about that. There's at least 4-hour session on Zoom for brothers who want to support the Million Woman March and its universal movements. It'll also be for brothers who want to begin to connect with other serious brothers. And you will share your information, what your projects are, how you can support other projects, and so forth. We're creating a brothers cadre that is going to also be supportive to one another as well as to us, MWM, but they got to be serious. It can't just be some conversation about, well, here's the problem, and this is what we need to do, and all of that. No, come with some possibilities, and or be prepared to support some stuff that's presented. That's the motor operandum for this. If you just come in to chit-chat, don't waste our time. We're not doing that anymore, okay? So anyway, I think Sister Angela is in queue, and we are going to talk with her now about what we're getting ready to do for tomorrow to commemorate the great Nat Turner. Let me see. Before we do, I'm just going to take a quick call, because I think this might be Sister Tawanda, and I just want to holler at her real quick because I haven't talked to her in a while. So just give me another minute, and then I think we'll be ready to talk with our sister. Oh, hold on one moment, our sister Angela. But hold on one minute. And I'm not recognizing numbers, so bear with me. Okay, 1230, your mic is open.
Greetings, sister. This is Sister Angela Khalifa.
Oh, okay. Great. All right, my sister, I got you. Okay. This is fine. We're right on time. All right. Well, and you sound so loud and clear tonight. Wonderful.
I'm in a different location because on the land it's quite challenging sometimes. So, yes,
gotcha.
It's a lot better here.
All right. Well, we got you now. So listen, tomorrow, family, look, you know, we talk a lot about ancestral things and all of that. But for real, how does that transform into actual whatever? Well, we're going to kind of bring that to the forefront. So listen, tomorrow is, of course, we call it Earth Day, Born Day, the great ancestor Nat Turner. Sister Angela, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. For those who, and I'm hoping nobody on this line is not familiar, but for those who might be not familiar, just give us a little history about our ancestor, Nat Turner, and then we'll go into what we're going to be doing tomorrow. Okay, so I'm turning the mic over to you.
Well, absolutely. Well, first of all, sister, thank you so much for the opportunity to appear on your platform. I'm truly honored, and I speak on behalf of the Nat Turner Library, its founder, Elder H. Khalif Khalifa, and my husband, Brother Khalifa, who are unable to be with us tonight, but I just wanted to just give words of love and peace and greetings from the Khalifa family. So Elder Khalifa has started the Nat Turner Library some 30 years ago, and in doing so, he has created literature, books, and provided a repository, a research and networking institution, if you will, based on Nat Turner, as we are located in Southampton County. So as one of the local griots, if you will, a lot of the history that we have received about Nat Turner has been from a very different perspective than what you might find if one were to do research, general research about Nat Turner. And so that is one of the, you know, power punches that we, you know, we stand on proudly, and we're just really excited about. So basically, he was a mystic. And, of course, we're kind of tapping on what's going on as far as our show tomorrow. But starting out, he was born with a veil, as some may understand what that means. Some call it a psychic, you know, having a just being born with that psychic spiritual gift. And as a child, there were moments that he was heard having conversations that his elders that were impossible that he'd know about, because he was inside of his mom's stomach at the time the conversations were had. So they knew that they were dealing with a very special and amazing person. And just growing up throughout his life, you know, you've heard, you know, say the overseers to say he was unfit to be a slave. So I'm going back into his childhood just to give maybe some insight in ways that, you know, for those, as you say, may not be aware of Nat Turner. And surprisingly, in Southampton County, sister, where we are, there are fully grown adults who have not been privy to the knowledge of who Nat Turner is, because they don't teach it in the schools on purpose. That's on purpose. And so there's much work for us to be done. Although we're located there, you know, we have people that come from all over. However, to tell the story of Nat Turner's life in this, it wouldn't do him justice. But what I will say is this, we are so honored to, you know, be able to present this program on tomorrow to honor our dear brave brother, who's a prophet, who was a general. He led America's most successful slave revolt on October, I'm sorry, 1831. So we give thanks for that, August 21st, 1831. So we give thanks for that, and honoring him on his 222nd B Earth Day. So we're just happy about that. And unfortunately, because of the weather, we were unable to have the event on the grounds. We are on farmland, and when it gets wet, it's pretty marshy, and it's really not suitable for an outdoor type event. So mm-hmm. we unfortunately had to cancel the physical event, and we're thankful to our sister here in Brzezi who invited us to do a special acknowledgement on tomorrow. So we give thanks to you, sister, for that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, this is, you know, we are exemplifying, and I'm speaking of you and my sister Keisha and others, Brother Ray Ray and Brother Mike, because they also do radio programs as well, Brother Lee, or YouTube. We are stepping up, you know, to make sure that information is more readily available, because unfortunately the media that we used to have, at least to some extent, that's not happening anymore. And so we recognize that. And so with that said, you know, we're going to make certain and even grow and develop even more so that our people have access to the airwaves, the visual, as well as the audio. And, you know, as I said to you, Sister Angela, fortunately, we are able to do it at any time. And so yeah. Brother Mike and Brother Keisha, Sister Keisha, which you'll meet ultimately. Hopefully they're going to get a van or a bus to come down with us for 11-11, right? Because
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that, too. I mean, I know we have a little more than a month, but we want to start putting it out there to folks that, you know, we are definitely planning to go. And I'm going to tell you, even if it rained, I think we're going to still be coming because that's a very, very important date. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So, again, I just want to, you know, acknowledge the fact that, you know, we're doing what we are really supposed to be doing, and that is to cut through some of this other stuff that impedes and just, you know, doesn't allow us to, you know, get past these hurdles. So, listen, with that said, hey, stepping up is what we do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So tomorrow, let's talk a little more about what we're actually going to be doing tomorrow with the
yes.
conversation, with the mission, and so forth, in the spirit of Nat
absolutely.
Turner, ancestor Nat Turner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the Mystic Fair, the theme is demystifying mysticism. And we have, yes, our workshop presenters, our dear elder founder, Elder Khalifa, will be
mm-hmm.
presenting on understanding mysticism.
Mm.
I will be presenting on his behalf on tomorrow. We
mm-hmm.
do have Sister Donna Jones. She'll be presenting on the dream realm. My husband, Brother Khalifa, has relationship science and mysticism.
Wow.
We have Sister Melendona who will be speaking on high vibrations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, on the music side, we have Music as a Language by Sister Nefa Ra. And she is a multi-talented artist. That's the best
mm-hmm.
that I can describe her. Sister, she did a 16 person arrangement herself,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
She's just phenomenal, but she's going to be presenting on Music as a Language. And then we have Brother Eternal El Bay, who's going to speak on sacred spaces, sound therapy, and then we have Dr. Copeland on health and bioenergetics.
Mm.
So it's going quite a wonderful presentation. And so, you know, they're excited about sharing, you know, a bit of their topics in as much as time is allowed for them to do so
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With
okay.
the audience. Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And again, family, you'll be able to tune in tomorrow. We'll be doing a special edition of New Day tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Okay, and we plan to at least be there until 10, so you'll have plenty of time to tune in and so forth. And also remember, if for whatever reason you can't join us live, you certainly can catch it in the archives, because every program that we do goes into the archives, and it's readily available at any time. Just go to the website, and you can get it on demand. okay? So, again, though, but you should catch us live because it's going to be all the way live, rest assured, and you'll be able to ask questions. With the replay, you're not going to be able to ask questions or to jump in and give a comment or whatever, but with the live broadcast, you can do that. You can ask questions, and you should have some questions because we're going to be – listen, Sister Angela mentioned one of the workshops that I'm definitely – I can't wait to hear about, and that's the one on dreams.
Yes, the dream world. Yes. My
tell
sister
us a little bit
is
about that.
Yes, well, she's my sister's quite the seer and has had a number of different types of dream experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of which definitely, well, all of them, but, you know, some stand out more than others. And I can't even begin to break it down, but it's really deep. It's really interesting. And just different types of dreams, you know, and dream experiences. And I know that, you know, all of us have had our experiences where we have some dreams that stand out that require some introspection and reflection and discussion and, you know, just trying to, you know, break it down. Like, why am I having the same type of recurring dream? Why am I appearing in the same places with the same people or whatever? So it goes, you know, pretty deep. So, yeah, that's going to be quite interesting. And I can't wait myself to hear her presentation.
Wow. And also, and I know you know about this one, you know, relatively well, tell us about the one on relationships, because one of the things that we definitely have to do is we definitely have to now strengthen our families. And again,
absolutely,
of course, that entails relationships. So tell us a little bit about
absolutely
that. What are we going to be hearing tomorrow?
Well, I did ask my husband when he gave me the title a bit about it, and he basically said, you know, hon, you just have to get it when everyone else gets it. So I can't begin to even tell you what he's going to speak about, but I know it has every bit to do with, you know, building the Black family, strengthening us, and I know that's the vein of it. So, yeah, so that's a surprise to me as well. So, yes.
Okay, wonderful. So what inspired you to really focus on this kind of topic for tomorrow? Because, I mean, I'm sure there's 1,001 things that, you know, that we could have looked at in terms of addressing or celebrating or commemorating the Earth Day, the Born Day of Nat Turner. So why a healing kind of, or if not healing, you know, something that deals with metaphysics?
Well, I think if you're going to understand who Nat Turner was as a person and
mm-hmm.
Some of the motivating factors, you know, behind his, you know, liberation mindset, I think
mm-hmm.
you also have to understand various aspects of him that usually are not talked about. And so Elder Khalifa thought, okay, what a wonderful way to honor him on his born day by presenting that side of him that is, very prominent yet never really talked about or brought to the forefront. So he
mm-hmm.
decided
mm-hmm.
to kind of delve deep on that side of things, on the
mm-hmm.
mysticism side, and bring it to the surface. He mystified this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the whole vein of what the day is about. Let's unravel what people, you know, think is mysterious about some of the occurrences that have during Nat Turner's life in terms of his visions, in terms of him going within and spending time alone. What was that like? What were some of those experiences, seeing hieroglyphs on the leaves? Come
mm-hmm.
on now.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot, you know, that wasn't necessarily, you're not going to find necessarily in history books that they emphasize.
Mm-hmm.
And so this
mm-hmm.
is how we decided, hey, let's bring that out. This is a part of who he is. This is a part of his
wow.
story. And so we're going to tell that, and we're going to, you know, investigate it. We're going to pull it apart, and we're going to, you know, experience it with him through this day of learning about and celebrating and honoring his life.
Wow. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, family. So you all heard it. Tomorrow, we're going to do this at 8 o'clock. We'll be sending out the flyer to you for those who are on our e-list and on our text list. You will be getting a flyer, if not later on this evening, certainly in the morning. An email, so look for it. But again, all you are, listen, we're going to be here, right where we are right now, New Day Resurrection Liberation, but we'll be doing it at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And, of course, same number, same website, et cetera, and we'll be here bringing you that information for at least 2 hours. So, listen, family, we're going to come to you. If you have a question or a comment for Sister Angela, we're going to open up the lines now for you. And, again, we want to start looking at healing from the aspect of what we need to do to heal based on our ancestors, based on what gave them strength, what gave them courage, but also what, in some cases, literally helped to heal them. And so we want to start looking closer at those things and really seeing how we can incorporate them into our lives, embrace the various traditions and cultures and dynamics of our lives. We certainly need it, as you all know, particularly given the fact that other people, their influences, it's becoming quite obvious, and I dare say a detriment in our communities, those of us who are embracing more traditional types of things, we're running up against a lot of extra hassles and conflict. You know, in being in the system of white supremacy, you that's a given. You're going to always go through some stuff. But now we're being confronted with things that is really of a different type, and the effect that it's having on our children. Well, we better get busier and start figuring out, and not just figuring out, but you know, putting things in position so that we can counter some of the brainwashing and other influences that are now in the school system, okay, and anywhere else, all right?
Yeah.
So, family, yeah. So if you have a question or a comment on anything that we've talked about thus far, by all means, you can press 1, and we would certainly love to hear from you, okay? Let me ask a question, since this is what we're calling Black Women's Appreciation, Awareness, and Action Month. Yep, we've taken this month too. Now when we do our inaugural sessions, the group will be able to literally say what month, you know, that is preferred, or what month we should actually look at. Because starting next year, it's going to be an annual thing. We're taking a month, y'all. If other groups and other people and other holidays can be put in, why can't we do a National Black Women's Appreciation, Awareness, and Action Month?
Okay.
That's right. I told you, MWA ain't playing. We get ready to bring this in a way that is not the same old thing and certainly not business as usual. We've gotten the lessons. We've been taught very well. So now we're going to put it in place. We've been working on this for over a decade. And believe me, I've had even sisters to say, oh, well, you know, it's already Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's already, you know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I'm like, so what? I mean, okay. I mean, you know, I'm not saying we're going to keep it in this month again. Sisters will be able to vote or give their opinion on what month, you know, they might or we might want to look at. But for right now, we're doing it this month.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Have a caller. We got a caller here. So let's go to caller at 9498. 9498, your mic is open. Welcome to this session of New Day, and get ready for MWM25.
All right, sounds, how you doing, Sister Filet?
Hey, Brother Ray Rack, how you doing?
Sounds like the plan is working. preparation is moving in a positive direction. So I got to thank you on that.
Yes.
And you always say, you always say, "Well, what are we gonna do?"
That's right.
Well, what are we doing? But slowly but surely, you're doing it. And I want to thank the sisters for coming on in the spirit of Nat Turner. But you talked about healing. It's going to take so. It's going to take so much, so many years. Because we, as a race, we are the most unprotected race in the in the world, not just in America.
In the world. As a race, no doubt.
As a race, unprotected. And if people didn't even want to see that when they made a movie of it, they didn't want to see it.
Right.
So it's going to take a lot of healing and the constant,
Let me share something with you, if I may, because you hit on a nerve, and I need to share this, because, again, we're gearing up for real action. So let me tell you, a few weeks, actually it's been a few months now, my son and I went over to a location here in Philly. An elder, he is now approaching his 80s. He had a business, and his business was buses. He had his own company. And he provided those yellow buses for the school. We had a black
school
man
buses,
in this city that was providing, you know, that had the buses. And his company was one of the companies that the school district used to provide transportation for the children to go to the various schools, right? Well, he's retired now, and he wanted to sell the business. But before he did all of that, he wanted to make the buses available to folks in the community first, right? So we went over to see, you know, what, because some of them were not in good condition, but some of them were. So we went over to take a look. So what we came up with, and this is some of the stuff we're going to be releasing as a part of the 25. We were able to see a few of the buses that were, that could be, you know, refurbished.
Repaired.
So our plan, our plan is we're going to raise our own money. We're going to get those buses up and running, refurbished, so we can have in the community mobile services for literacy and health to start with and education. And then we will plant them in our communities. See, again, we had to come up with what are we going to do? So we've been working on these various things. Now it's just up to the folks to support it or not, because I already know how that works too for some. But the point is, at least we have some things that we can put in place that we know can be in our communities, Brother Ray Ray. Can you imagine seeing a bus, a MWM bus in the hood
with the sign right on the side?
Yes, with the big sign
on the side.
Yes.
Driving through the community.
Yes. You understand? So while we're waiting to get a building or whatever thing, hey, we know how to, listen, as Tupac, and even before Tupac said, we know how to turn 50 cents into a dollar.
Okay.
We know how, meaning we know how to take what we have and transform it into whatever it can be until we get whatever else we need. But while we wait, see, this is what I'm saying, Brother Ray. You're right. We have this work that is enormous, needless to say. But if we don't get out here and start doing it, then the next generation has to deal with even more enormous stuff. They're going to have to deal with their stuff and the stuff we left, the stuff that we left too.
With what they got coming down the, with what they got coming down the pipeline with the reset and all this stuff going on. You hear it, the New World Order, the Great Reset, the digital currency and all this stuff that the globalists is talking about. It's going to be a It's going to be a rough road again.
That's why I'm saying we got to do what we have to do as much as we can ourselves. And with Sister Angela and the Khalifa family, they have land. They have land already. And are working
on
building.
Yeah.
And working on a building to be there. So we're going to be in total support. But, you know, that family has a history. This is not a family just popped up last week or last year. That family has a history.
Oh, no. She's been around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we're not talking about somebody that's, you know, trying to pull the wool over our eyes or something. Mm. We're talking about some real stuff here. And again, you know, if we don't support the people who have demonstrated a level of commitment and work, and I know you know this, Brother Ray, because you do it. You step up. So, you know, we got brothers and sisters that do these things, believe me. But we have to impress it upon even more of our folk that we have to support independent institutions. Stop playing. This is ridiculous.
Right.
We support all kinds of stuff. I'm like, what? So our role and position is to really, you know, to point out, to bring to the forefront, particularly those that are doing for self, and with that, are doing for us.
Absolutely. It's up to us to keep our institutions going. It's up to
That's
us
right.
to maintain, to preserve.
That's right.
To tell our narrative.
That's right.
And if we, as long as we're in control of that, then we're in control of our narrative. It is when we turn that over to others in terms of receiving whatever resources are out there that comes with the sellout tag. We don't want
that's
that.
Right.
So
that's
we're
right.
doing everything in our power to build using non-commercial funding. We
right.
are raising our own funding and being creative in that way. But we absolutely do not want to become entangled with that financial system that is burdensome and, as you well know, can end in, you know, a catastrophe. So we don't want that. We want
to
be independent.
They're snatching.
Yes. We want to live
right up under your socks. It's gone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Been there, done that. So this is about our independence. This is about our liberation. And you can't do that as long as you're suckling and still, you know, hanging on to others for all of your resources. So we have to get creative. We've got to think differently. And we, you know, most importantly, just have to be independent-minded and make decisions
mm-hmm.
based on thinking that way. And that's the only thing that's going to save us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
And you're talking about a Nat Turner
mm-hmm.
library. They would
That's
never.
Right. Yep.
Never.
Yep.
Want the minds to go toward what Nat Turner was thinking.
That's right.
Okay. And we're right here
That's
in the
right.
county, so we, you know, we're in
That's
direct
right.
line of the opposition, and it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable.
Right.
And just so you know, family, we're looking at doing a retreat next year. You know, when the weather turns warm again, we're planning to do a retreat. We're not sure, you know, exactly when or anything like that, but that's definitely going to be on our plan list. These are things that we're talking about doing. As a matter of fact, when you hear one of the big announcements that's coming on or around October the 25th, you will hear how we're planning to visit underground railroads. We're going to be doing crossroad, you know, kinds of excursions to take. Right now, we're looking at young girls. Now, we're trying to link with some of our brothers so the brothers can do some of what we're doing with the young sisters. We want our brotherhood, we call them our serious brothers in support, they will be doing what our agenda is calling for, but they'll be doing it, some of the things with brothers. So one of the things that MWM will be doing is taking young sisters on trips. And we've selected, you know, first the Underground Railroads. We'll be going to different cities that had Underground Railroads so that they know the history, and we'll visit whatever else is there, but that's the focal point. because this is Harriet Tubman's bicentennial. We're in it right now. We don't know the exact month or anything like that because, according to the historians, they don't know the actual month. And then some even say we have two dates, actually. Some historians say she was born in 1820. Others say that she was born in 1822. So because COVID kept us from doing stuff in 2020, MWM said, well, we'll just wait and do the 2022 piece. So this year, again, we're kicking off the Harriet Tubman bicentennial, what we call Jubilee, and it'll go into next year. See, we've been planning this stuff, getting it ready. Okay? And so, you know, again, you don't even hear much talk about Harriet Tubman, this being her bicentennial, her 200 year, a recognition, again, of another ancestor. This is ridiculous. We wait until the enemy makes something big and then talk about it.
We've got to do it. We're doing it. We're doing it.
That's right. We are. And with that said, drum roll again. Sister Angela, it has been so kind and gracious to help us in the development of one of our first educational pieces, and it is for the 25 Sister Saints. So very soon you will see our first coloring book and activity book for our 25 Sister Saints, who are all ancestors.
Yes. Yep. Thanks. I'm honored to be a part. Honored to be a part of this.
Yes, yes. Because for those that don't know, we didn't do an introduction about her, but because she's been on before. But I forgot to mention our sister, of course, is not only the major folk for the Nat Turner Library, but also she is in her own talent, an illustrator, an author, writer, researcher, and creative artist that makes, authentic black dolls.
Okay? Yes, I get that.
So all of these things. So with that said, having the capability of art, drawing, illustration, she's agreed to work with us in the development. So, family, you all are going to be able to support MWM in building what we're building by way of our products. We're going to be putting out several products very soon. Kwanzaa's coming. For those who do other holiday stuff, it's coming. We will have T-shirts soon and other things available. We have buttons already, and we have posters are ready. The T-shirts will be ready next week. You'll be getting that. And so, again, we have some other items we're not going to tell you about just yet. But that's one of our major focuses, the producing of our own items, be it education, be it health, be it information, et cetera. That's one of the ways we look at raising our monies now.
That's right. Independent.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. So, family, get ready. Get ready.
Yes.
So, with that said, Sister Angela, it was something I wanted to ask you about. What about now, we were talking about your doll, the dolls that you do handmade. I know this is a little. So have you, now, are the dolls all female? Let me ask that question.
I have done some male art dolls as well, primarily they are female, and that is because that's what is requested. But I have had several men to request, and I have done so for a handful of them. But, yes, I do both.
Because let me tell you, years ago I had a shop called Stilt Walkers, and I had a collection. I had dolls. They were manufactured, but I had all black dolls, obviously, and they were all from black companies. I had my stuff in storage, and unfortunately my locker was broken into and a lot of my stuff got stolen. I had some collector's pieces as well as some things that were, retail for sale. One of the dolls was a Toussaint L'Ouverture.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I am serious. And it was about, let me see, how high was it? It was about maybe 3 feet, 4 feet, something like that. Well, let me see. No, maybe not 3 feet, but it was pretty tall. It was pretty high. I don't remember how much.
Yes,
and I mean, even in the costume, even in the regalia. Yes.
I'm
literally had a Toussaint doll. Yep.
Where did you find that, sister?
You know what? This was 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago. I had my own shop called Stilt Walkers. That's where the Million Women March came out of. I literally had dolls and that. We had stuff that no one else had. People will tell you, when they came to our shop, they would just stay for hours because we had the best children's book collection, because we had books for our children. We had books from all over the world for our children.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
absolutely
beautiful.
So that's why I was asking about the male doll.
Because
in the spirit of Nat Turner or Toussaint, or you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I'm there.
You know, we know that mostly, you know, the females, you know, do that, but you know, I'm just saying, you know, sisters got brothers, you know?
Yeah. No, we're definitely doing both over here, absolutely. But in terms of what has been done, the majority has been women.
Right,
but no, we do it all.
Sure.
And it's all about preserving, you know, the art of handmade cloth doll making.
Yes.
That's what this is about. It's about preserving that. It's about keeping that tradition alive.
Yes, I certainly am looking forward to our projects. You know, again, we want to start producing things that are also, you know, historically, you know, on point, accurate, and also present, you know, that kind of imagery to our people, to our children, but also to our adults, our brothers and sisters. Because like you said, a lot of them don't know either, you know. So we've got to pick it up and do this stuff, get it done. All right.
Absolutely. I was going to say the majority of the illustrated history books that I have for sale more so are sold to adults than to children. And these are illustrated history books in the form of or disguised as a coloring book, because they really are. Each page is filled with history, and it's just illustrated because that's the visual, you know, teaching aid and learning tool. But I have to tell you, I've had people who were not really interested in reading, interested in learning, and having had this style of book, they say, you know what, now I want to go and get my GED. Now I want to learn more, you know, reading your books that way sort of just, you know, drew me into a world of, you know, giving me the desire to want to. So that feels good. And that lets me know that this style of writing, it's not just for children, although it may appear to be so.
Right,
as I said,
more
adults utilize this form, you know, as a way of learning. And I think that's absolutely, you know, wonderful, because I think any portal that you can open to the mind to teach our people our history, we've got to do that. And so this is my contribution, you know, to the world in that way for all ages.
Absolutely.
To learn about our beautiful culture. Yes, yes. And pretty soon I'm excited about our 25 sister saints joining in on our family of illustrated history books.
Absolutely. And family, we'll be giving you more information about that next week. Again, we're getting ready to bring it forward. I can tell you right now, of course, our Saint Araminta, also known as Harriet Tubman, of course, Queen Mother Moore, Nanny, the Jamaica Nanny. These are sister saints, and we do have one of our poster. I think it has 17 of them on. The next one we look at will have the 25, but the one that we have now, I think, has 17. But you will hear about our sister saints for the rest of the year, because we're working on a campaign to have them installed. We want our sisters to be installed in the way that we would traditionally install or recognize our people. And so whether you want to call it an installment process or another ancestral ascension process, we're going to do some kind of ceremonial stuff that, you know, makes certain that this stuff gets etched in stone. And with that, as we're traveling next year, Sister Angela, we have 25 cities that we're looking to come to. That's why we're coming your way as well. But one of the purposes for that is also to make certain that we initiate certain kinds of programs on a national level. So one of them is the National Black Women's History Project. So, again, we can start documenting not just the history of sisters that people are familiar with, because that's what the enemy does a lot. They put people out there that they want us, you know, to make it seem like, well, you see, we're recognizing
them. Right.
But in our communities, there are women who have made and make tremendous contributions, accomplishments. A lot of times their history either gets lost, gets pushed aside, or whatever. We had here in Philadelphia the first black woman senator for the city of Philadelphia, which was Roxanne Jones. And of her becoming senator was she was on welfare, and she started an organization called the Welfare Alliance, or something like that. And for years, she and other sisters in particular was fighting for people when it comes to making certain they could get, you know, certain things. And this was years and years ago, so the welfare kind of didn't feel like it was then. But she was one of those people. She was fight. I mean, she was fighting physically, really. But she would, you know, go into city hall or into state capitol and all of that to demand. And so the people drafted her, the community drafted her to run the city. And she won. So these are stories. So my point is, there's a thousand, a million stories, really, about things in our community. The work, the Mother Hare in New York. I mean, a lot of people kind of heard of her like years ago, but she was taking in particularly AIDS children that had AIDS and created something called a Hare House. Right. And then once it actually happened, it kind of, you know, but after that, you die down. And so we're letting our history just go. We're not telling the stories to the degree that the legacy and the history can continue. So MW is saying, no, we ain't doing that. That's not going to happen. We're going to make sure that we have our own libraries, our own whatever, to make certain that the history of our women. And again, we're going to work with our brothers who want to do things for our men, right? You know, our primary focus is what it is. Brothers might like it or not, too bad, you know, but this is what we're doing. So anyways, so I just wanted to put it out there to you. So listen, family, tomorrow, join us tomorrow when we have this wonderful time. Again, Sister Angela, share briefly, I think it's four or five workshops or topics that some people said it.
Yes, sister. So we have starting out from Elder Khalifa, which is understanding mysticism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have Sister Donna is going to present the dream realm, understanding mm-hmm. and discussing various stages of sleep and entering into that realm. And then we have Sister Angel Melendona speaking of high vibrations, you know, that energetic force field that is necessary in order for us to soar, you know, mentally and spiritually. You've got to vibrate high. So she's going to go in on that topic. Yes, and then we have
we have a brother, Dr. Copeland, and he's going to speak about health and what he has termed bioenergetics. And so we're really, so I'm interested in also receiving that presentation, and that has to do with our biofields, our energy fields around us. And then we have two very special people that come to the land on a regular basis, and one is Sister Nefera, and whatever event we have, Sister, she is there. She's a saxophonist. She's a flutist. She is a all-around jazz multi-artist. And she is going to, very spiritual person, and she's going to present music is a language. And, and so that's music and spirituality, absolutely. And then we have our brother, one of our in-house drummers. He's like family to us, and that's Brother Eternal El Bay. And he's going to present on sacred spaces, healing therapy, sound therapy, Reiki, just understand. You know, our energy centers, which some call, you know, chakras. It's like the ley lines of the body. So, so this brother is very deep. And as I said, again, he's one of our drummers. He has his own, the Eternal Roots Band. And so it's a very beautiful lineup. So it's going to be quite a beautiful celebration. And we're thankful to you because, again, being unable to have it in person, we're thankful that we're still able to come together to be able to present on the workshops, you know. So the only thing that's missing now is that vegetarian cookout. That's the only thing we're missing out on, everybody.
That's right.
So we
were looking to
our Freedom Burgers, and that's one of our in-house plant-based burger specialties. Absolutely, the Freedom Burger. We've got the RBG Burger. Yes, we do. And so we're going to have all of that. Yes, we've got the carrot hot dogs and so much more. So we're going to save all that stuff for 2023. Yes. So just know that,
you know,
that's a part of 2023. We'll get that as well as the cultural exhibitors and vendors who, you know, have had special products prepared, like the homemade soaps and things of that nature. So, and the oils and the dolls, of course, and the books and the, So and on and on. So we're just looking for next. And then we were going to close out. I have to say this because we'd already prepared for it. We were going to close out with a sunset fire pit drum circle meditation. How about that?
Oh, wow. Wow.
How about that? Yeah. So, you know, of course, with the weather, but that's okay because next year, and this is really about, you know, what the day is about. The weather is, it is what it is. We know that, you know, there's a higher purpose and plan in place here, and we are sliding into position. And our position right now is that on tomorrow we're going to present on your Blog Talk show, and we're thankful for that because we're still getting the information out, okay, to even more people that would have been present. So that still works out, and we're honored to be able to honor our dear brother on his day, on his born day, with the Mystic Fair presentation. And we honor your energy, dear sister, for providing the platform and the invitation, extending it to us to do this special presentation on this special day. That is quite an honor, and we thank you for that. And on behalf of the Nat Turner Library and the Khalifa family, I say thank you, dear sister, and we honor your spirit.
I say, well, you know, again, in the spirit of our ancestors, that's how we're moving forward, to honor them and to make certain that those who came before us, that their hard work, sacrifices, and so forth, certainly will never be in vain. And we are just going to make sure that, stay family again tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. I will be sending it out via text and email very shortly. Please feel free to share, post it on your Facebook, Instagram, what have you. I mean, come on, it's free information. That's not just, you know, some Google stuff. Real stuff here that we're talking about. It's time to heal. It's time to learn. It's time to grow. Let's put this stuff together so that we can keep the enemy behind in every way possible by any and all means necessary. This is what we got to do.
Yeah.
You know that people have different strokes for different folks.
So we get that. So let's use every tool that we can to strengthen ourselves, to heal ourselves, to know thyself, to love thyself, and then also to get this. So whatever we need to do to raise the frequencies. Oh, that's it. One of the final things, Angela, and I think I see Brother Shaka Baraka in queue. Let me make sure. Yep, I see him in queue. Okay. Listen, are you familiar with Dr. Delbert Blair? Have you ever heard of him?
Are you speaking to me, sister?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. Because for me, when I started hearing you talk about, you know, what is going to come tomorrow, he just flashed in my head. And again, this is someone that we don't hail his name up or, you know, keep his name and work out there.
Absolutely.
Incredible. So I just
want
to keep his name, family, in the context of our ancestors and the work, all the information that's coming for tomorrow, because he made some groundwork that's out of the world. Some of the really
yeah.
So if you haven't heard of Dr. Delbert Blair, you know, Google him. There were books. He had his own center and so forth. And maybe when Brother Shaka comes on, he might be able to tell us a little bit about him as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. Where did Brother Shaka go? Like you see him in queue. And somehow he has disappeared. All right, family. So listen, we're going to move on. And Brother Ray Ray, did you have something you wanted to share with us briefly?
No, we good.
Okay. All right, Brother Ray Ray, thank you much. Sister Angela.
I'll be listening tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
Wonderful.
All right. All right, my sister,
brother.
Thank you again, and I look forward to talking with you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Peace and unity to you and to your listening audience.
Yes, yes. Thank you, sister. All right, family. So, again, tomorrow, 8 o'clock, we're here at New Day. You know, same number, same whatever, internet, you know, www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi, and we'll be here. All right. All right, we're getting ready to go now to our live line again, and we're going to talk to our brother, Shaka Barak, from the Marcus Garvey Institute, of course, Chicago. And this time he's going to give us a report, an update. He recently met with one of the representatives, ambassadors of Benin. Now, you know, last week we were talking about Dahomey, which is now the Republic of Benin. And we also mentioned to you earlier this past week, that we are planning, MWM is planning to go to Africa. We're actually planning a summit, but that won't happen until 2025. But we will be doing groundwork starting next year. And Benin is one of the nations that we will be going to in preparation for what we're getting ready to do in 2025. We'll be in one of the CARICOM countries in 2024, CARICOM meaning Central America for some, but it'll be, we're looking at Trinidad Tobago, but it could end up being Jamaica or Barbados, since Barbados just themselves from the clutches of England. At any rate, let's go to our live line and let's talk with our brother, Shaka Barak, and let's find out what happened at the meeting, because we know that had to be powerful. We're talking about Sankofa, y'all, meaning return of the great ones or return of the ancient ones, or how are we going to move forward if you can't understand and know what's going on from our past. And of course, taking all in stride, but bringing things forward in every productive, positive, and righteous way possible. So, with that said, hey, Brother Shaka, what's going on?
Greetings, Sister Empress Chi Lele Chi Nesu, founder of the Million Woman March. And greetings to all of the brothers and sisters that are on the line that are listening and that may listen to the recording. Yes, in an effort to try and let the nation of Benin, Republic of Benin, know that we have men and women of African descent who have seen the movie Woman King and were inspired by that movie. We made an effort to reach out to the ambassador, two ambassadors, one at the embassy in Washington, D.C., and the other one at headquarters of the United Nations in New York. And so the ambassador of New York sent a communication to me through his office that he would meet with me the following morning at 9 a.m. So I had to really get ready to make sure that I followed protocol in speaking with him. So I couldn't leave it to chance that maybe my nationalism or my Garveyism would guide me through it. I had to really prepare. I knew that there were some things that you and I had talked about, Empress Chi, and I wanted to make sure that I shared those things with the ambassador as well. So put your seatbelts on, brothers and sisters, while I go over what was discussed with the ambassador. I said, Your Honorable Yusebe Agabangla, Republic of Benin, Ambassador to the United Nations, it is my honor to be able to speak to you. Sir, you represent the Republic of Benin and its president, His Excellency Patrice Talon. Please let the president know that we are inspired by his leadership of the Republic of Benin and by his leadership in the economic arena of West Africa and the African Union. When His Excellency President Patrice Talon unveiled the Bioguerra Giant Monument erected at the crossroads of Cotonou Airport, displaying this powerful-looking woman, we in the diaspora were also filled with pride and hope for the day when we can not only come home to the Republic of Benin to stand beneath that great statue of that great-looking woman, but to do our part to rebuild a Benin Dahomey Empire. Ambassador, I thank you for taking the time to speak with me so that through you, on behalf of the Marcus Garvey Institute of Chicago, Illinois, I am allowed to wish the best to your government and the best to the people of the Republic of Benin, including the Fon, Yoruba, Batano, Berber, Wansangari, Adja, Gon, Wama, Batamariba, and Yam. Your Honor, we in the African diaspora living in the United States, although thousands of miles away from our motherland, Africa, are happy to be a part of the sixth region of the African Union and plan to do our part as partners in Africa's development. Some have already visited the People's Republic of Benin, such as the founder of the Million Woman March, Fele Cheyenesu, who says she plans to return and bring many other women with her. Ambassador, Your Honor, for over a century, the African diaspora has read the writings of our great scholars and others who wrote about the peoples and the kingdom of Dahomey, especially the women who helped Dahomey to stand up tall, similar to the kingdoms and empires of Songhai, Mali, Ghana, and the Zulus under King Shaka Kazin Zanakona Kajama Kazulu. Research shows the heroic struggles of Dahomey's people against slavery and colonialism as followers of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, born August 17, 1887, died June 10, 1940, and his ideas of a free and redeemed Africa, we are reminded that it was he who taught us in the 20th century to never lose the empire urge. Millions join in his call of Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad, which led to the first and largest mass movement in the United States, which was active also in Dahomey after World War I. This was through the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, UNIA, founded in 1914. It was the UNIA that laid the foundation of universal African nationalism that led many countries in Africa to independence. While 99% of Africans worldwide were struggling and resisting a European colonialism upon which the sun did not set, as a result of the Berlin Conference of 1884 and 1885, in the 1920s and the 1930s, the Honorable Marcus Garvey called upon our race to believe that we could control our destiny. We could become self-reliant and one day establish a United States of Africa. I'm proud to point out the connection between the Dahomeyan Prince Kodjo Tabalu Onoi and the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who met and were on the same stage in 1924 in the city of New York. Your Honor, we see signs of coming and signs of a great day coming, and we take solace in knowing how actors and actresses got together and produced the Woman King movie that recently came to the movie screens on September 15th, 2022. The Woman King is helping millions of us learn that our ancestors in Dahomey had these courageous, intelligent, militarily trained and devoted African women who fought bravely for the Kingdom of Dahomey, fought bravely for the Ogoji sisterhood, and fought bravely for their Dahomeyan king. I have studied the history of Dahomey through its timeline, and I have seen a woman king four times. it's now five times. Okay. My wife four times. We have held discussions in public libraries, spoke to large audiences in person, virtually, and on the largest black-owned radio station, WVON, in Chicago. Ambassador, lastly, I suggest to you that there are similarities in the Honorable Marcus Garvey's women paramilitary auxiliary called the Universal African Motor Corps and the Ogoji Women of Dahomey. Furthermore, the Honorable Marcus Garvey placed alongside of male presidents of UNIA divisions, female or lady president in every one of those divisions. Lastly, please allow me to recall how Dahomey had knowledgeable elder women known as the Naye. They were attached to every governor of a province as what I call co-rulers, and therefore, through evolution, a woman king was inevitable. We ask those who serve, how do we serve them? Shaka Barak, president of the Marcus Garvey Institute.
All right. Ashe.
He responded.
Mm-hmm.
And he let me know that he appreciated everything that I had said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said that to you and others that the Republic of Benin is your home. Come home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said that his intention is to show the movie Woman King to all the other ambassadors of other nations.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, and I said I'd like for him to meet with the Sister Viola Davis. He said, I will contact the studio. And brothers and sisters, you know, we are using this opportunity to educate our people about Dahomey, the greatest achievement and the greatest achievements that our people have made, which is nation building, which is empire building. And like our sister Angie said, you know, sometimes if you want to get to the adults, you give them something that is really for children, but they can read it. Mm-hmm. I have a book on Dahomey and Benin, and it was for children. But, you know, it's so comprehensive that it really wasn't for children. It was for adults. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is a good idea. I was at a library today, and I met with the representative of the mayor, the Honorable Lightfoot. I met with the CEO of Chicago Housing Authority, another black woman, and we took a picture together, and I told them about my view of Woman King and my research, and they told the head of the library that I need to give a lecture to the people on Woman King and the Kingdom of Dahomey. I remember Sister Viola Davis saying there was this book. I think the name of the book was the Amazon Women of Sparta, the Dahomey Warrior Women. And I said to the librarian, I wanted this book. I placed it on order, but it was like, I placed an order for it. I'm sixth in line to get the book. And so the head librarian said, when you get the book and you like it, we will see if we can get more books, so the same books, so that we can have a book club. And we would see if we, once the movie is available, that we can show the movie in the library. And then we can have some discussion about it afterward. Lastly, I contacted the ambassador after thinking about his idea of showing the movie. I said, sir, you may want to ask the chiefs in the local areas, that is, in Benin, how did they feel about the movie? You may want to ask those in the neighboring countries that were also impacted by the Kingdom of Dahomey, that is Nigeria as well as Togo. Togo was colonized by the Germans. In fact, that was a territory that the Alma Marcus Garvey fought for at the first world organization and the League of Nations. And next door in Nigeria, they were colonized by the British. So I said that if you could approach the Africans that were directly impacted and you get their approval, then when you go before the Africans in other countries, Northwest, South, and Central, you will get a positive response and you won't get much pushback. And so I'm waiting to also talk to him about the book that Viola Davis said that they use, one of the books that they use for a research, to make sure that he gets that as well. What we may have to do, since the book was published, and Angie, you can chime in on this, it was published in 1989. So there's a great possibility that it's not in print.
In print.
And so it may be a question of, well, what do we do? Do we... You know, I mean, even the author may not be alive, and So we would have to see, is it possible to get copies, get it reprinted. We've got some Africans who can print books. We could get it reprinted, or we can ask our scholars. I told you, Brother James Smalls, he did an excellent presentation. He was well prepared. So perhaps, mm-hmm. And then Browder, he loved the movie. He's seen it several times. And so maybe our own scholars can use that book and others and information from the Republic of Benin to write our own book so that we'll have the material that will continue to inspire our people. So that's the essence of my report, and I thank you all.
Oh, thank you, Brother Shaka. All right, family, listen, we're going to open up the phone lines for you all again if you have a question or a comment. Woo, that was a lot. That was a lot. I mean, I definitely not only appreciate what you just said, my brother, but certainly we're getting ready. When we start disclosing or shall we say unveiling some of the Black Print Agenda 25, folks are going to be really, really not only surprised, but I think impressed with what we've been able to accomplish. But listen, let's go to our phone lines. Ian Caller, you are at 9324. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Hotep Empress, this is Brother New World.
Hey, Brother New World, how you be?
How are you, you gorgeous, darkly creature of God? Yes, you happy who's day?
How was the Gil Scott Day today?
It was fantastic as usual. Just I go and I do what I do, even though it had rained, as I told you,
right.
The agreement
yeah.
I have with the Creator and the ancestors always allows it to go well. So while that's I was there, stuff dried up.
I know that's right.
So I enjoyed a beautiful day, even in spite of the rain. It rained before I was there and sometime after I left, but not while I was there.
All right.
So I went and I honored
right.
the memory of a wonderful brother. And what I wanted to discuss is what you all were just talking about. And I don't understand why
brother,
we don't get
it,
but I'm going to make it clear for us. For some reason, we don't understand the value of staples. I've done this on many of occasions, taking good books that we know they want to get rid of and burn and don't want us to understand the knowledge that we need more than anything. Take your hiney to Staples and copy it. And I've done that and given it to brothers and sisters. And they tell me, well, I want the hardback. I said, it's not about the back, fool. It's about the content.
Mm-hmm.
This is all I'm saying to us. I don't know what's wrong with our limited thinking. This is what I'm saying. This is what we have to do. It bothers me that we do it. Yes, I do. You know I do. Like you
know.
But right, we can't let that stop us. See what I'm saying? Go to Kinko's, print it up, and you have the material. You can share with as many people as you like.
It's funny that you said that, Brother New World. Check this out. So when I was in school, my first copies, even of Stolen Legacy, was a copy from the Xerox or whatever it was called then. My first copy.
So,
do you all remember something? Brother Shai, do y'all remember something called the Gemstone Files?
I don't.
Or the King Arthur Plan?
Oh, yes. Most
or the
definitely.
Protocols,
I have it in
protocols
my library.
Of the, learned, the Protocols of the Learned Elders. All of those.
Yes, ma'am.
My first copies of those three books. We're all – somebody copied at a copy machine or something. My first one –
And this is all I'm saying to us. And you were no less empowered by it, were you?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, look.
And this is all I'm saying to us.
Yeah.
We get limited trying to keep up with Europeans. But I'd like to remind us, you don't have 400 years of blood money. You can't keep up. Don't try. Just get the knowledge and use it powerfully and righteously. This is all I know I need for us to do. Once we do these things, we won't have to worry about what they do. actually what we really need to do, let me, if you allow me to be extreme for a moment, we need separation, not integration. Because too many times we're shutting down our meetings for a white person to be in attendance. I guarantee you they never shut down their meetings for you. Never, never. You don't need your enemies in your meetings. And this is what we have to learn. We've got to separate, not integrate. If you want to be free, act like it. You've never seen chickens invite a fox into the hen house to discuss how, what they're going to do to stay free and keep from being foxy dinner. And these are things we must learn.
That was one of the things I loved about Brother Alton Maddox and the you know, the United African Movement.
United African Movement.
Yeah, you could not. Everybody know, again, no white folks come up in there. You see, I mean, they made that explicitly clear. And then you have a group in D.C. I think Baba Yao talks about them sometimes. I think it's the Shule there. I forget the Umoja might be Ujima, something like that. Anyway, they've been in there for 50 years. They've been in, and they've had that Shule school, that is, for 50 years independent. And, again, will not allow white people in their facility. So people have done it, are still doing it, okay? And we need to be real clear. Everything is not for everybody. It's just that simple. All right, Brother New World. So did you have a question or comment for Brother Shaka, though?
No, just keep up the good work. I'd like to contact him, so if there's anything I can do to help, I'd be more than happy to. But relative to what you were just saying, they want to maintain this thing. I got a call the other day that put me in mind of the movie Claudine. These people don't want to give us good health care, but they now want to come into our homes and do home visits to see how well you've done in spite of them so they can figure out how to hold you down better. And they ask you questions that are very prying, important questions, so they can figure out what you've done to get through their foolishness. So, and they're serious. They get the information on how to destroy you from you. They don't want to give us health care. They've owed me my veteran's pension for over 40 years. I can't get it. So what they're really doing is waiting for us to die, like with Brother Fleming's. The man died 95 years old, a World War II veteran. We were fighting for his pension. He never got it. Never. Now, that's a crime against humanity, and we won't delve into these things with any seriously because we have the attention span of a gnat. And I'm not talking about a Nat Turner. I'm talking about an insect. And that's embarrassing. It really is. We've got to do much better. I'm ashamed of us. So please, family, help me help you make this world a better place so our babies don't have to suffer through this foolishness in their generations to come.
Thank y'all. My brother.
Love y'all. Stay strong, and I mean for real. Stay strong.
Hey, black at you, Brother New World. And as you know, that's what we're doing. We're getting ready to do this thing.
Ma'am.
And all I can say is I hope people don't try to get in our way. I seriously do.
Oh, you
but
know they will, but
we're
going to hurt them.
We're going to have something for all of that. But, brother, thank you much. And, moving right along. Moving right along.
You know it. Now, don't make me sing that fat in Whitehead. Ain't no stopping us now. Love you.
Black at you. Peace out.
Yes, man.
All right, family. That was our brother, New World, up in New York. We, you know, we got some serious folks up in New York. We love them, love them. Brother Ray Ray, he was just on a little while ago as well. That was New York in the house as well. All right, family, listen, we have Brother Shaka Barak with us. And, of course, we just had an excellent, excellent report on his meeting with the ambassador, Benin. And, again, we are in the process of making some major moves. Actually, starting tomorrow, we'll begin to list some of the sessions that you'll be able to join us on for the rest of the month. Our brother Yumi Odom will be doing a linguistics class for us. He speaks, I think, about 7 languages fluently. And so what we're offering our people, our sisters in particular, at this time, so, and again, let me preference that, y'all, there's certain things that I have to do right now with our women, okay? I done give folks 20 years to bring your suggestions, your input, your partnership, or whatever. Only a few did. And so now we're going to move forward with those who have attempted to build with us. And with that said, if anybody else has anything else to say, we have some choice words for you. The bottom line is Brother Yumi Odom, who is here based in Philly, he was formerly the director at the Pan-African Studies Community Education Program here in Philly. He now has his own consultancy group, and he provides various services, and one of them is helping our people to be able to get more acclimated to languages. And so we're going to start doing sessions with him and others so that those who want to learn or get more acquainted with some of our more traditional languages, they will be able to do so. We will also make some of the other ones available because, unfortunately, in Africa, some of the European languages are the languages that are still spoken. And so we have to be realistic about being able to communicate in that way a little more readily. So we're talking about French. And what was the other language? It's primarily French. We ain't trying to learn Portuguese. I ain't trying to learn that one. Anyway, but we will be offering some of these to those who are interested so that we can get prepared or more prepared to be able to communicate and interact to a greater extent. Swahili is one of the major ones that we will be presenting. I know some people have problems with that. Again, create your own program. It's real simple. If you don't like what we do, that's fine. That's your prerogative. Create your own and leave us alone. Anyway, let's go back to Brother Shaka. Brother Shaka, quick question in terms of, I know you've been talking and working in regards to perhaps doing a documentary or a film even about the Honorable Marcus Garvey. Is there any updates on that, or what is the projections for that?
Well, no. Those who have the expertise to produce a movie, the resources, I haven't been in contact with them yet.
Mm-hmm.
As we establish a relationship with the powerful directors of many movies, the Spike Lees, the Tyler Perrys, the Denzel Washingtons, the Sister Gina Prince, by the Wood, and others, and producers, we may be getting ready to at least be receptive to the idea of a movie on the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in about 20 years ago, there was a play that was produced about the Black Star Line, and it showed here in Chicago. So when I heard it was going to be shown, I went down to the Goodman Theater, major white theater, and I said, you're not going to show this play without our community knowing what it's about. So
mm-hmm.
I got a copy of the play.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to bring the African community around a discussion before the play was shown. I had a chance to meet with students at the Marcus Garvey Elementary School to kind of get them prepared so that they could go in and really benefit from seeing the play. But the play really was an attempt to make him look like a clown and a buffoon, to make people laugh, to make them laugh at him. But in the audience, there were Jews or Jewish people, and they were very vocal, very militant, because they know that the Jewish judge played a role in railroading the Amar Marcus Garvey into prison. They know that the Jewish prosecutor played a role into railroading Yamaal Marcus Garvey into prison. So it was a frame-up. It was persecution. The witnesses lied. All-white jury. I mean, it was just the worst thing that could ever happen. But this is always the case, and it will always be the case. I'm glad you and the brother who called in had talked about resisting, because the beautiful thing about the homie, which you don't really see much of it in the movie, is how they resisted the French and resisted colonialism and all the way up until they became independent. Well, we're going to have that fighting spirit that you and the brother talked about, because those who are in power and who want to maintain white supremacy, they're not going to lay down and die. They're not going to go away. They're not going to give up. That's why they work 24/7. They don't sleep. They don't take breaks. They continuously pursue white supremacy. And I want to just remind those who are listening about our motherland and how we have, for decades, we've had over 200 coups, about 214, and then we've had about 106 that were very successful. Legitimate, democratically elected governments were overthrown. Even today, you'll have situations like not long ago, even under the leadership of President Barack Obama, Gaddafi, Colonel Gaddafi was assassinated. He was an African, of an African leader of an African nation. He had been the one of the presidents of the African Union. It changes each year. But let me take you back even further than that, brothers and sisters, to Haiti or Haiti. Haiti, in 1804, the enslaved Africans revolted under the leadership of men like Toussaint L'Ouverture and Dessalines. And they fought the French. They defeated the French. But in 1825, 20 years later, France came to this first black republic in the Western Hemisphere and said, we will invade you. We will return all the Africans in Haiti back to slavery if you don't pay us reparation. Pay France for the loss of their property in both the enslaved Africans and the land, 150 million francs, which was 30 times Haiti's annual revenue. Haiti took out loans from French banks, and today, brothers and sisters, is still paying. It went over $560 million paying. The true cost of Haiti is $115 billion. Now, how do we let that happen when we know about it, when we know about the coups, when we know what they'll do to assassinate our leadership? The African Socialist Group just recently, what, a week ago, they had their home and their private property invaded. The FBI came in, guns cocked, threw in smoke bombs.
Yeah, we had the brother on our program, Ashitali.
Totally.
President Ashitali. Yeah,
totally
we had him on our program.
Our human rights.
Yeah.
this is what we have to get ready for. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I wanted to just say, yeah, I like that fighting spirit that you and our brother expressed, because that's what it's going to take. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother Shaka. And so, again, one of the things in recognizing, because you have to remember, it's been 71 years now that Paul Robeson and William Patterson took the petition to the United Nations charging genocide. You know, many have had the conversation about you have to get ready, you have to do this, you have to do that, but the plans of action, for whatever reason, has been minimum at best. And so that's why, you know, MWM is now, you know, we said our brothers did the Day of Atonement, and now the sisters is going to set the tone. Because conversation, which is wonderful, we should, because it educates, it informs, and it allows us to develop camaraderie and so forth. But what is missing is the actual consistency of plans or of actual action. And this is, again, what MWM is going to demonstrate. As Brother Redrick said earlier, I've been singing this for quite a while, that we have to come up with strategies and other modes of operations that is going to address issues. Now, the brother that you just heard, Brother New World, because he's one of our brothers in support.
Okay.
In about a week, Brother Shaka, that brother, along with myself and a few other people, will be setting up a tent in front of a building here in Philadelphia, ours. That building has been sitting for more than 20 years vacant. It is owned by the city of Philadelphia. And there has been attempts by others as well as us to try to figure out how property that is owned by city or state or federal government can become more a part of belonging to the people, particularly groups and organizations that do work in our community. You see? And so realizing that, we've now figured out how we're going to now approach it. With the We Charge Genocide 21, that was part of the plan to address the issue of gentrification, but to be more proactive in being able to expose the city governments at this point in particular. Why are they allowing property to sit in our communities vacant for 1 and 2 decades? Now, see, once that hits the press, which is what it's going to do, it's going to ruffle feathers, but it's going to also create some kind of action. Because the people who are in opposition of the people who are in office, they're going to take full positive advantage of that. You see, it's strategic. So my point is, we talk about things, right? But we do not come up with what we're going to do about it. So the worst case scenario for us is that we get a citation, or even if necessary, if possible, we might get arrested for trespassing. But, I mean, okay, so what? See, unless people are prepared to step up and step out, then a lot of excess conversations, like I said, it's good because it always helps and educates and so forth and so on. But we got to go to the next step. And some of this is not, you know, we're not trying to put anybody in danger. Or we're not trying to do anything illegal. We're going to use our rights, or what we call our rights, to demonstrate a point. And hopefully that will encourage others. And at least our children will see we're not all punks. We're not all just going to sit back and just talk about these people taking over our communities and we say and do nothing.
They need to see that.
No, they're going to see it. They have to see it. We've already planned it. Once we put it out there to people, a brother stepped up from another organization and he's providing us with the tent. We initially had a small tent. He's bringing us a big one. See, and that's how we know things work. when somebody takes the risk or takes the chance or steps up, a lot of times that's all people really need to see to help motivate them, to help encourage them to do something. So we're going to be out there in front of that building. We're going to ask people to sign that they support us getting that building. And it's just a strategy at this point because we're going to take the building anyway. But that's a whole other conversation. But my point is get the people involved, get the community involved, let them be aware of what's going on, give them the opportunity to speak out against what is now. When I have pictures for the past 7 years of that building, so I can show you from at least on the outside what the building looked like 7 years ago or 10 years ago and what it looks like now, the deterioration that has already happened on the outside of the building. Why? It was a library. It was a library in the black community that's been closed for 20 years. It has been vacant. Absolutely nothing. You see, this can't be allowed. So I didn't mean to go off on that tangent with y'all, but I'm just saying this is some of the action steps that is now going to happen. We have some brothers who are in support of these actions, and we're coming to other cities to do some similar things that we have researched. So I just want to put that out there to you because this is our month, y'all. We're taking it.
We're taking it. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Later on this month, they're doing the commemoration of the National Black Lives Convention. I was invited to speak at one session. I haven't heard anything back from it yet, but it's okay because we'll still do a side session anyway, either way. But Brother Shaka, again, thank you. We appreciate you. We want to make sure that we continue to stay in touch and build what we have to build. We're returning back to Africa, to Benin, that is, next year, family, to begin to establish our sisterhood in Benin and to begin to develop the Global African Women's Marketplace. That's what we're getting ready to do so that our sisters can sell their wares online by way of us establishing an online marketplace, an African women's, African diasporic women's marketplace. Okay.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah.
Yes. New day,
definitely.
And certainly enjoyed the things that I heard before I came on. Look forward to working with you in the future.
Absolutely. And by the way, like I mentioned earlier, Mother Amy Dr. Garvey is one of our sister saints. So every year now, something on either the Earth Day or the Transition Day of our sister saints. And so, again, she will be featured in the upcoming coloring book and activity book that will be coming out later on this month. So, you know, we hope people will support. You know, we're not beggars. I mean, we appreciate your donation without a shadow of a doubt. But we now go into business also. In fact, we have our slogan that we'll be introducing this month, and it is do business with the Divine USA, United Sisters of Africa, USA. Okay?
Love it.
And lastly, we're going to make sure that the history of our women and girls is a lot more known. We just want to remind everyone that for October, for those who do not know, we're going to help remind folks every month, but for this month, October, two of our sister saints, actually three that have dates this month, the great Saint Henrietta Lacks made transition on October 4th. The great Fannie Lou Hamer made transition on October the 6th. The great Saint Rosa Parks made transition on October 24th. And again, we'll give you the actual year and all of that as we proceed. I just want to throw that out to you now because we're running out of time. But Brother Shaka, again, I want to thank you and a certain Sister Angela. And tomorrow, family, remember, 8 o'clock, right here again, New Day Resurrection Liberation, metaphysics is the topic. And not just metaphysics, but raising the energy, the frequency, et cetera. We want to get healthy. We want to get better. So tune in tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Almost every day this week, we'll be doing something. We'll give you more information about that tomorrow as well. All right, family, listen, we're going to close out. We thank everyone again for tuning in. Pass the word. The William Wood and March Universal Movement is on the move. Oh, by the way, Brother Shaka, I'm going to mention to you, Minister Ismael's office did call me back this week, and we're scheduling a meeting with him, so we should be hearing something soon from the nation.
You're breaking up, what are you saying?
I was saying that Minister Ismael's office did return the call, and we will be talking with them soon, so we should be getting a report. In terms of the Nation of Islam supporting the Million Women March 25.
Okay.
All right, so we'll keep y'all posted on that. Yes, indeed. All right, then, listen, we're going to close the session out. Thank you all again. Remember, tomorrow, Brother Lee, of course, Africa on the Move. Of course, Thursdays, Sister Keisha, Brother Ted, Pharaoh Black Talk. 8 o'clock on YouTube, and of course, Brother Ray Ray. Of course, the Mackey Study Group on Wednesdays on Zoom and then on YouTube. There's some of our family communication affiliates. Support them. You can check them out on YouTube. Community Cop also on YouTube. Till next time, family, we thank you all again, and we'll see you in the whirlwind. Right, Brother Shaka? And you know what we say.
Good night.
If there's no justice, there's no what?
Peace.
All right. All right, baby. Talk to you tomorrow. Tutanama.